there. You are listening to the Girl Talk podcast brought to you by Fox Toyota of East Tennessee. My name is Carol.
Hey, I'm Trisha.
And I'm Kelly.
The sandwich generation. Have you heard that term?
Have.
Yes. Okay. It means when you are in the middle of raising kids and also taking care of aging parents. And I heard this term probably maybe 10 years ago or so. I started to hear people start using that. I was like, what is that? Well, I'm glad I'm not there. Well, I'm there now. I am now the pastrami on wheat.
Can we call it the Oreo cookie?
I like that better.
Instead?
Oh. I like that better. Caregiving. That's what we're talking about. It's funny that we should mention this for two reasons. I got a text yesterday. I forgot to tell you girls, but I got a text yesterday when I was talking about this week's episode that asked us if we would talk about caring for aging parents. I was like, it's so amazing that you should mention that. The other reason it's ironic is because we were supposed to record this podcast previously. Mm-hmm. And during another podcast that we were recording, my phone rang and it was the facility where my mom is. And I had to leave immediately. She took a fall and had to go take care of her. So to say it's timely is an understatement.
Correct.
Right?
Right. Correct.
And I think caregiving, you know, we're just going to jump off here and jump in full force. I think caregiving it's akin to parenting when people say it's the toughest job you'll ever love. Mm, sure. It is such a tough job because you were not preparing, although you were preparing to raise your kids. You know, you can read all the books and listen to all the experts tell you what to do. But when it comes to caring for an aging parent, I have found a real desert as far as resources and things to help you kind of process through that, because it's totally different. Mm-hmm. Because I don't know about y'all, but I always saw my parents as strong and capable, and they were always, you know, very healthy and very able-bodied.
Yeah.
And when you get to this time in your life, it seems like to me it happens very quickly. And I know it doesn't, and I think it's different for different people. So I live close to my parents for the years that their health had been declining. And so I saw them every day. So I didn't necessarily see the decline. But then my sisters who lived away from here would come. And when they would come visit, it was like, oh, wow, there's a decline there. So I didn't necessarily see it. And then when it got to the point where, you know, I was, you know, charged with caregiving, it was almost overwhelming because I felt like I was hit out of left field. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know.
Oh yeah.
What do you think?
Talk a little bit about what you had to do with caregiving. What does that mean? What does that look like when you caregive for older adults?
You know, I think it number one, it is the toll it takes on you emotionally is probably the heaviest part. Because I am, you know, if there was the opposite of a nurse, it is me.
Oh,
right? Because, like, I mean,
so I'm not coming to you with my boo-boos.
Well, maybe you can come with a boo-boo, and I'll probably give you a chocolate chip cookie. That's okay. The most help I would ever be. You know,
also, that's helpful.
Exactly.
But,
exactly. So, you know, for me, the emotional toll that it took was so much, because you automatically feel this pressure. And especially when you get to the point where you're making decisions for that individual, and you have to manage medicines, and you have to, you know, juggle doctor's appointments, and you have to, you know, and you're still working full time and you're still raising your own kid, you know? So it, to me, the emotional and the interesting part of that is that for the time that my parents were at home and I was helping to care for them, I thought, when we finally made the very difficult decision for my mom to go to a facility, I thought that a lot of that pressure would be off of me when she went to the facility.
Sure.
It does not. Hmm. It is still there. It is different, but it is still very much a weight. Mm-hmm. And I think probably, you know, if you're in this stage of life, you are probably amen in your head off right now.
Yeah.
If you're not, I would say a couple of different things for you. I think this is important throughout whatever relationship we find ourselves in. Caregiving doesn't even necessarily have to be an elderly parent. It can be for a special needs child.
Sure.
It can be you know, a family friend, a spouse. Yeah. So caregiving in and of itself, it's a never-ending job.
Absolutely. And if you are a caregiver, please give yourself a hug right now,
and
because
grace.
You deserve it, and give yourself loads and loads of grace. When you were talking earlier, Carol, it made me think about the fact that I think part of what makes it so difficult when you're taking care of your parents, as an example, is they were your source of security.
Yeah.
That's where you feel safe because you're with your parents. And then all of a sudden, they are not your place of security. And there is this feeling of, wow, vulnerability all of a sudden, I think, when your parents become ill or older. And it's really a challenge to who you see yourself as being, your identity as a daughter or a child. And all of a sudden you're like, wow, I'm taking on this different responsibility. And I think also what makes it hard is that you, when you were likening it to taking care of your kids, you get all this reward with kids, right? They're learning to say mama and oh look, they, you know, they're walking and people say look how cute, and there's all this sort of feedback. But when you're doing that for your parents, the rewards are different. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say they're not there, because they are. Yeah. And it is a great responsibility and a great privilege to get to take care of the people who took care of you. Mm-hmm. But the rewards are not as easily attainable. It's hard. Mm-hmm. And if you have to do something like with their physical health, like let's say helping them shower mm-hmm. or helping them in the bathroom. I mean, those are hard things, and there's not a lot of reward for that.
Right. We had a friend of the ministry who was in here a couple of weeks ago who was talking about caregiving of his mother mm-hmm. and how he had to go through that process of beginning to wash her.
Yeah.
And he's responsible for giving her a bath every time she takes a bath.
Yeah.
And how awkward that is.
It's
and
awkward
what he's
for
done,
both of them. Yeah.
Yes. What he's done to try to protect her and protect himself. And it's just hard. It's hard stuff.
Well, because you want to maintain their dignity.
Right. Of course.
In the middle of
they
honoring
deserve
them.
That.
Sure. And in honoring them. And I think I want to say this too. I think honoring our parents as far as caregiving is a biblical mandate. It's something that God calls us to. But I will also say that I found that, you know, I'm going back to what Tricia said about the roles changing. I got to this point, this was actually after my father passed away, and then my mother went into facility. I got to this place where I realized that, hey, if I mess up, if I totally blow it, there is no place for me to go now. Like before, when my life fell apart, I knew that if worse came to worse, I could always go back home.
You could go home.
Mm-hmm. And when you, the loss of that is, to me, as great as the loss of a parent or the loss of their health or all those things, because it strikes at the very security of who you are.
Yeah.
Because you know, and I know I've talked to people who didn't grow up with, you know, great relationship with their parents or don't have a great relationship with now. And what I tell them is that there will be something there that you will miss. Seed of security or who we are is tied up in always being able to go back home, you know?
And there's also an opportunity for growth in the relationship. And I'm thinking about a friend of mine who didn't have a close relationship with her mother, but then when her mother was not doing well, they developed a better relationship. Like there's always an opportunity for that relationship to be close again or to grow in some way and to remember things. And I try to remember this, not as a guilt trip for myself, but as an encouragement. It's a privilege to get to take care of my dad for me when I can, because I didn't get to take care of my mom.
Right.
She passed away quickly as a result of an accident. And so I didn't get the privilege of caring for her. And so I try to remember that it is a privilege, but doesn't mean it's easy. And if you're listening to this and it is hard, you are not alone.
And I think one of the things that bears mentioning here is that when you are raising kids, the end result is different than when you're caring for your parents.
Right. Yeah.
You know what the end result is.
Right.
And that is, you know, eternity. They're going to at one day, hopefully, rest in the arms of Jesus, and all the things that are wrong with them here are not going to be wrong with them anymore, which is glorious, but it also leaves a huge void in your life. With your kids, you know, they're going to grow up, they're going to get married, they're going to go off to college, they're going to do all these wonderful things, you know, and you pray that they'll change the world. And those rewards, like you say, are very different to look at those. And I think that's one of the things, there's this underlying sadness because you realize in caregiving that is the end, you know?
Yeah. There's one of finality. The best gifts that the Lord ever gave my family was when my grandmother was close to passing away. Mm-hmm. She was in the very last summer of her life. She moved in with my parents. Mm. And was healthy enough to, she wasn't bedridden. She was healthy enough to participate in active life, but she wasn't healthy enough to live by herself. Mm-hmm. And she passed away a week before mom had to go back to work. She was a teacher. Passed away just a week before mom had to be back at school. It's such a gift that they gave her, that God gave them to have that summer where they could say goodbye to each other and make some memories in a different kind of way before she passed away.
Yeah.
But it was hard. I remember watching my mom struggle with the decision of what do I do? How am I going to work full time and let my husband work full time and care for my mom who's living in my house and care for my daughters? And how am I going to make all this happen? And it was hard. Lots of stress.
Yeah. I think you got to remind yourself or your friend in that position, you can never do everything. Right. You can't. You
That's
can do your best.
Part.
But because you feel like, well, I'm letting them down, or I'm letting my kids down, or I'm letting my husband down, or I'm letting my job down. You know, you always have that feeling, I'm just not doing enough. I can't do enough. But it's not possible. Mm-hmm. And God hasn't called us to do everything. And just to focus on the things that we can do, because it is a gift.
Mm-hmm.
It is a gift to that parent or to that spouse or that person that you're caring for. It is a gift.
It doesn't often feel like a gift. And that's one of the things that I think you have to be realistic about.
That's true.
That, I don't know why the emotions are coming right now.
Well,
I'm
it's very powerful.
But,
it is.
I think the weight of that is so real. Like, you know, just the day to day, not even the big things, you know, when they have a fall or there's some kind of medical emergency, but the day to day of the weight of knowing that you're responsible for that, you know. Mm-hmm. And here's the other thing, too, is I found myself wanting to make up for every wrong thing I did as a kid. Like every time I talked back, I want to go back and fix that, you know.
Right.
I feel the need to care for her in such a way that would make up for those lost times, you know. And it's a weight. It's hard. I would say get very good. And even if you're entering this phase now, I would encourage you to somewhere write down, and I say write down because you will forget, write down some of the things that fill you up and that refresh you. Mm-hmm. Because you'll get to the middle part of this journey and you won't even remember. It'll be like, I don't know what I like to do.
Right.
You know, I don't know what...
You're
what
poured
things.
Out.
Yeah. You're poured out. That's a great way to put
it.
Yeah. Yeah. You're going to have to talk because I'm about to sob, snub.
And I'm going to say this. You're going to snub, and that is okay because we've got lots of Kleenex, and it's a very, very emotional issue. And Carol, you've been basically the primary sibling taking care of your parents.
Yeah.
And I have watched you do that with love and grace, sacrifice, kindness and humor. And that is so big. And here's the thing. I am not the primary caregiver of my dad who's been injured. My sister is. And so I fly in every other weekend and try to, you know, hey, let's go to lunch. And I'm kind of, woo, let's do the fun things. And she's doing that heavy lifting.
Yeah.
You know, get the groceries, make sure the medicines are there, do the things that need to get done. And I'm kind of the relief pitcher. Mm. And so I think there's room to talk about that because I have watched what you've done and how you've poured out and how you've given. And I have tried to remember to say to my sister, thank you. Mm. Thank you for what you are doing. I recognize how hard you're working. And I get to fly in here and do a little bit here and there. But I see the day-to-day work that you're doing. And I think that's important for the sibling or the person who's not the primary caregiver to recognize and say, because does that refresh you when you hear something like that?
Yeah, it does. Because I think when you have multiple children trying to do that and only one of them's in town, that weight feels heavier.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It does. And it is a privilege and I wouldn't change a thing. But it challenges you to be at least good at things that you are not your gifting. And I think that's part of the stress for me is because I'm not a numbers detail kind of person.
Oh, yeah.
I'm so afraid I'm going to forget something.
Right.
I'm so afraid I'm going to forget to pay a bill or I'm so afraid I'm going to get to do this. You know, and when you're in charge of all of that, you know, now I know you're saying, well, you've like raised a kid and, you know, you've managed to pay your bills, so you're doing okay, you know, but there's always that something else, yeah. You know.
Now it just doubled for you.
Right. Right.
Because you're still doing all that stuff for yourself.
Right.
Yeah. True.
And caregiving is so hard because, you know, I think it's hard too, depending on what you're dealing with. I mean, there are some diagnoses.
If it's plural, I think it's diagnoses, but
diagnoses.
Really, who cares?
Okay. How we can make up a new word. But I think depending on that, because with my mom, her memory is fading. And so the person that she is now is not really the person that I remember. And and that part of it has emotions of its own. Whereas, and I'm not saying anyone's better or worse. I mean, it's all, you know, hard. But with other diagnoses, you have a timeline. And with this one, you don't really.
Yeah.
You don't know. Everybody's different. And I realize that's the case because God created us all different. So don't send me emails about that. But I think depending on the diagnosis you have, you kind of know your timeline and you kind of can have a feel for. Because with my father, you know, he fell and then 4 days later he passed away. It was the fall that caused and so I wasn't really prepared for that. I don't know if you can ever be really prepared for that, but I wasn't really expecting that because he'd bounced back all times before. Mm-hmm. You know, they had said, oh, this doesn't look good, and then he'd pop back up, you know. Here he'd be again, you know.
Saying something funny
and cutting up. And so when that happened, it was a little different. And with my mom, just the weight is different. And I'll watch people. I go to her facility and I sit and I'll talk to people. Such lovely. I mean, y'all, I don't know how to say this loud enough, but we are missing a great treasure in the elderly of our country.
Well, I was just thinking about that with all the opportunities you have during this time to talk to the people you're caring for. You know, maybe your mama doesn't remember all the stories, but there's something buried down in there that if we can really.
Sometimes you don't want to unearth it, though. I'll say that. You know?
And, you know, I don't have a whole lot of experience with this, but maybe sometimes people with dementia can tell you stories about their childhood.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And it's would think it would be a really good opportunity to write some of those stories down.
Yeah.
That might just fill your soul full of joy and looking at your parents in a different kind of way.
Yeah. Even Trisha said to me one time, she's like, you got to write a book about this experience because, you know, some of the things that my mom does now, she would have never done because she was so prim and proper and very put together and Southern. I mean, she just was the ultimate. If you were to, people were like shocked that she was my mom because she, like, her pocketbook and her shoes matched all the time. Like, that never failed. Her hair was always done. She never went
lipstick
out of the house.
On.
Lipstick, yeah. Always on, you know. And so now who she is now, so different. But she's done some different kinds of things, and I'll come in and tell, you know, little stories about it. And she's like, you got to write that down.
Yeah.
You know, because it does bring you life, and it helps you to laugh and helps you to find joy.
And that's so important during this very hard season.
It's true. Finding the joy is, every day is the challenge, but also the reward, the goal. Mm-hmm. That's what we need, because when you have a parent, especially one that has a memory issue, could be dementia, could be Alzheimer's, could be just age-related, there's a little bit of loss every day.
Yeah.
And so as the caregiver, you have a little bit of loss that you experience every day.
I'll say this. I think caregiving in and of itself, you start the grieving process.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Because you're grieving what you had in them as a parent, as your rock, as your security, as your stability. And you then give that up to then be that for them. And I think that's where the grieving starts, you know?
Yes, I do. I do know.
You're grieving what you used to have.
Right.
That you'll never have back again.
Right.
Never.
Okay, so we're going to have to come up with something encouraging.
Find the joy.
Blubber.
Well, you
find
did it. Yeah, you did it. So if it's a funny little thing that happens, my friend Beth told me this funny story. Her grandmother, they called her Beck. She loved marshmallow cream. You know that marshmallow cream stuff?
Yeah. Oh, good stuff.
Well, and so they had to she lived with him for a while, and they had to hide it from her because she'd get into it, right? And so she tells
the
story
in the
one day.
Cream
well,
again.
Beck had all around her mouth white marshmallow cream, and they said, Beck, did you get into the marshmallow cream? She's like, nope, I sure didn't, with that big white thing around her mouth, you know, and things like that. I mean, if you can laugh about it, if you can find some joy in it, you know, God has a great sense of humor.
Yeah.
Try to grab onto those moments so that that you can find joy every day. And maybe they remember your name, or maybe they remember your child's name, or something like that can be the piece of joy that you can hold on to that can get you through the next day. God says he'll give us what we need strength for this day. You don't have to think about the next day.
Yeah.
But for today, he's going to give us what we need.
And
with caregiving.
I will say, your community is really important in this journey to help you. And like, I'm really bad at knowing when I'm at my point. Like, I have you guys and some great friends and from church who are real good at looking at me and going, you need to lay down. Like, seriously, you just need to lay down and take a nap, or you need to go eat, or you need some coffee, or you just need to stop. You know, those, and so community is vitally important during this time. But I will also say finding people who are kind of in the same season of life is helpful, too, because you know you're not crazy. I mean, like, because there are some days that I just think, I don't know what day it is and where I'm supposed to be, but I know I'm supposed to be somewhere, you know?
Right. Or people who've been there before.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm not in this situation yet. Right. I'm not in this season of life, but it's coming.
Yeah.
It's coming. And I'm going to rely on the two of you tremendously because you're a little bit ahead of me.
Yeah. So lean into your community. Lean in, find it. And I would say we've both talked about grief share here before, too, but I think we just come to the conclusion that you start grieving when you switch and put on that caregiving hat with your parents. So it's not ever a bad idea to get involved with grief share. So much good information. It's a group of people who are grieving something.
Yes.
And so they're like-minded. So always good. I think it's griefshare.org. You can find a group that meets near you.
You just put your zip code in and it will show you. And the best part about it is it's biblical.
Yeah.
It's just so biblical.
Yeah. And I think there's also an email you can sign up for. And
yeah, you get emails every day.
So we want to hear from you, and we want to know where you're at. You know, you maybe just have little ones, and you still can rely on grandparents for babysitting. Enjoy every minute of it. Enjoy every minute of it. But if we can be here for you and support you in any way, please let us know, because that is why this podcast exists. We are so grateful that you listened today. And we would like to thank our friends at Fox Toyota of East Tennessee for their partnership in this podcast. We could not do it without their help. We could not do it without you showing up here each and every week and listening to the podcast. And don't forget to share it with a friend. If you know somebody who's a caregiver and could use a little word of encouragement, why don't you just go ahead and share this podcast with them? And we would love to hear from you if you're in this season of life. You can always email us at girltalk@thelightfm.org. Or you can send us a message in the app, too. If you download the app now, every time there's a new Girl Talk podcast, it'll go bing on your phone, and it'll say, there's a new Girl Talk podcast. It's a wonderful thing.
Beautiful noise.
Make it easy.
Sometimes I do it on mine. I'm like, I don't remember what we said on that podcast. So I'll go listen, you know. But it's a great way to keep caught up and know that we love you. We're praying for you. We would love nothing more than to come alongside you in whatever season of life you find yourself in today. That is why this community exists. So join us on the Facebook page, on the Girlfriends of the Girl Talk page. We love you. We're praying for you. Let us know how we can help. And we'll see you next time we gather around these microphones for the Girl Talk podcast.